Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Come to you for the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us Camille Giglio. We're going to be talking about the program here in the state of California for taking the children at age 3 or 4 and bringing them under the control of the total state so that their minds can be reshaped, not to help them to be better citizens, but to make sure that they don't believe in those traditional values of life and liberty and family and God that have been the mainstay of America. Now, you have to trace what's going on back to the time of Rousseau and the time of the Enlightenment, and he realized that if we were going to change the world, in other words, people like he who disbelieved in God, they were going to have to get hold of the minds of the children. And then in the 1820s, when Robert Owen, who was a British socialist, came to America and set up New Harmony, a colony in Indianapolis, and at that time, Robert Owen invested a great deal of money, his father's money, to create an ideal commune. It was in New Harmony in Indiana, and it didn't work. And he said, we've got to get hold of the minds of the children. And he set up a secret society to infiltrate education and take over control of education. And then, of course, in 1848, when Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, he recognized the importance of the children, and he advocated a free public education for every student. That was point 10 of the Communist Manifesto, the 10 points to bring about a communist society. And we've seen progressively since then this move towards bringing the children under the control of the state. Well, we've had a bad educational system here in California for many years, but suddenly under our new conservative administration, I fear it's even going to get worse. And with that as the background, let's go to Camille Giglio. Camille, what is this new program that they're trying to bring into California?
Hello, Dr. Stan. It's nice to listen to you. Well, you do put a little bit of a sense of humor into this horrible situation.
Well, you have to. If you didn't have a little humor, why, you'd just shrivel up and die.
Well, I think that's quite true. What I was hoping to bring to the people's attention was a set of 5 education bills that have been going through the state legislature this term. And not only this term, but for quite a few terms back. But it's this term has really seen an increase in interest in having the Democrats, particularly, pass a set of 5 bills that will bring a new master plan for education to the state of California. And one of the bills by Senator John Vasconcelos is called the California Education Master Plan. And it basically destroys our understanding of education being for the academic training and understanding of our children. And it focuses more on providing social interests and health care and school to work and daycare and mental health evaluations and all sorts of things to our children, beginning age 0 to college age.
And, of course, those of you who don't know Senator John Vasconcelos, you need to get a copy of Marilyn Ferguson's book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, written in 1980. She has a whole section there on John Vasconcelos, a legislator in Sacramento who is part of what she referred to as the Aquarian Conspiracy. She ought to know. She organized this network of people who have a different agenda, a different worldview. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Camille Giglio, and she is, of course, with the group that is studying what's going on in our educational system in California. What is the title, the name of the organization you're with, Camille?
Well, my organization is called California Right to Life Committee. And basically, since 1980, we have concentrated on the right to life issues, abortion, family planning, things of that nature. But my particular area of interest all of these years has been legislation, because it occurred to me early on that it is the legislators and the organizations behind them that are changing the whole culture of our society. And while it's wonderful that there are some people that go out and minister to the pregnant young woman and educate people on the value of life, it's the legislators and our tax money that they're using that continues to fund this society of death.
You're absolutely right, and these people do have an agenda, and of course part of this involves education, changing the moral values of our children away from the traditional Judeo-Christian values that we've held to this a different outlook on the world. And this is really what's so frightening, is because they control the minds of our children, and they're indoctrinating them in environmentalism and internationalism. They're destroying their moral fabric. They're telling them it's all right to use drugs. You have to make the decision. And after all, nobody can tell you what to do as far as sex or drugs or even honesty. There are no moral values. You make up your own system of moral values. And that's one reason we're in real trouble today. But this new system of education that's coming down is really even more frightening. Isn't it really going to determine really their whole lives and going to pick their profession for them? And is going, of course, to alter the entire relationship between the parent and their children? Tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, you pretty much did altogether. As I mentioned before, John Vasconcelos really and truly has been trying since at least 1973 to get his understanding of what education should be all about, this touchy-feely type education, into law. And he has carried bills over the years that has attempted to promote this, even when other legislators up in Sacramento thought him a little bit daft, and just kind of humored him along. He has never given up. You know, that's one thing. What's one thing to the credit of people like this? They never ever give up what it is that they want to do, even if they have to take a few setbacks over the years. Vasconcelos being the true example of the person who's
hold that thought right there. We're going to bring our stations on board. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Camille Giglio. And of course, we're talking, of course, to people all across America, but remember what happens here in California will soon become what happens in your state. In fact, many of these programs, this new brand of education is going in already in a number of states across America. We had, as a guest last night, Karen Holgate, who works in this field, and we had a number of callers from other states that said, we've already got these programs going in here, and it is a disaster. So why don't you tell our listeners about what these programs are that John Vasconcelos, who incidentally is a New Ager, at least according to Marilyn Ferguson, in her 1980 book, The Aquarian Conspiracy. And if you haven't read the book, find a copy someplace and read up on John Vasconcelos and understand he is not daft. He knows exactly what he is doing. He just has a different worldview. And he wants to use the power of the state to destroy your children and mold them into sort of a weird little individuals just like him, who worship a different God, who dream a different dream, who have a different worldview. So pick up the story there.
Well, there's one thing to start off with that people need to understand. Sometimes it is not the legislation itself that causes people like myself to get alarmed. Sometimes the wording of the legislation is somewhat neutral and somewhat generalized, and you really need to understand that there are double meanings to lots and lots of words that these liberal and progressive legislators and think tank people use. So when you read bills, you know, you have to understand, you have to look for the hidden meaning in things. And currently there are There has been going through the state legislature a series of five bills dealing with education. These five bills have been very contentious, and they have been amended a number of times. And the Senate passed one version of these bills, and the Assembly passed another version of these bills, and they couldn't come to agreement, so they've gone to a conference committee. And in the next day or two, we're going to learn what's going to happen to these bills. But I will run down these bills quickly, if that's all right with you.
You go right ahead and explain to our listeners what these people up there, the mischief that these people have been bringing in.
Well, first of all, one bill, Senate Bill 6 by Senator Dede Alpert, would change the authority of the state superintendent of instruction. It's quite an interesting little game they've got going on. Superintendent of instruction is an elected position, and in our state, Jack O'Connell, a former legislator, is in that position right now. He has had the full authority to say what goes on, and he and the school board work together. I'm just speaking in rather general terms. There may be people out there that know a lot more about this than I do. But what this bill wants to do is take about 1,000 education codes and give them to the appointed office of the Secretary of Education, a new office, Secretary of Education, appointed by the governor as an executive cabinet-level position. And right now, that's Richard Reardon. And Richard Reardon is certainly no education czar, I can tell you that. That's one of the big changes that they want to do. They want to change who directs the supervision of the school.
Well, now, what's wrong with that? Couldn't we get somebody in there who'd do a better job and certainly return control to the local communities and to the families?
Absolutely not. The whole point of this is to gain more and more control at the state level.
Okay.
There has also been in the newspapers lately the notice that the governor wants to streamline education as well as everything else in the state, and he wants to do away with the county superintendent of schools offices and make 11 regional offices.
And does he want some sort of an educational czar who would really be really just control all the education?
Well, to put it as simply as possible, he wants to take away as much local control, parental control, local control as possible, put it into a region, and have that region under the authority of the governor, who is then under the authority of the state No Child Left Behind, the federal No Child Left Behind program. That's basically what this is doing, is moving everything from the local control, which a lot of that is already eroded, moving it from local control to the state to the federal.
And so they really want federal control of the minds of our children, because what the No Child Left Behind program really is indoctrination, not to teach these children. They're not interested where they can read or write. In fact, they want to dumb them down, but they want to indoctrinate them in environmentalism.
Oh, that's a part of it, too. Then the John Vasconcelos bill, 550, is the one then that would change the whole curriculum, and if schools don't come up to the new standard of curriculum, they could be taken over by the state and run by the state. And of course, what they're going to do is make these new education standards so difficult to meet that there may not be. There may very well be a lot of schools that will fall under the loss of accreditation and fall to the state to govern. It also makes compulsory all-day kindergarten. Children being able to go to kindergarten when they reach age 5 in September, it would make December as a date in, so they're older 5-year-olds. Now, this too seems nice to some degree because it will save the state some money. But what that's going to do is make parents demand preschool, because the people that want to put their kids into kindergarten the earliest possible won't be able to do it now. but they're convinced that they have a right to a state-funded daycare, childcare, whatever. So they're now going to, they themselves are going to, so this idea goes, they themselves are going to be the ones that will now demand universal kindergarten for all children.
That's really before kindergarten. It's a pre-kindergarten, isn't it?
That's a pre. Yeah. We have the program that will go from age 0 to 3. Then we have Assembly Bill 56 by Daryl Steinberg that will go from preschool from the 4 to 5 year olds.
Now,
so we're going from birth to 3, then from 4 to 5, and then 6 on up to college. All in one prepared program.
So basically what this is an all-inclusive program. They really want almost from the time the child gets home from the hospital where they've been born, they're to come under the control of the state up to age 3. At age 3, they'd be taken into church, government's programs, sort of like a head start, but they really want to begin to get them away from the family so they won't indoctrinate them with ideas of right and wrong and God and family and country, and of course break that bond between the parent and the school. Bring all the children under the control of the state, which was exactly what Plato advocated in his Republic 2,350 years ago, part of this program of creating this wonderful utopia that Plato wrote about and is being brought into America today and really throughout the world. So basically this is an advanced Head Start program. Will it start out compulsory or be voluntary?
Well, if... you know, that's something we don't know right now. It's written in one of these bills here that kindergarten would be mandatory, all-day kindergarten, compulsory.
In other words, the state knows best. If the parent doesn't want to put them in, that's all right. You're going to be a lawbreaker if you don't go along and let us have the mind and heart and soul of your children.
Yes, another thing it would do is it will track all the graduates, and it will track, you know, if you go all the way through school, once you graduate, you're going to be tracked by your Social Security number and other information that they would get from state and federal agencies. So Senate Bill 550 also calls for exchange of personal information. And they can gather that information as the child goes through school through AB 1550, which calls for data collection.
And, of course, now every child gets a Social Security number when they're born. That was part of the NAFTA bill. What does it have to do with NAFTA? Nothing. It's all about control, isn't it?
Well, yes, and I don't know whether it has to do with NAFTA or not, but also the Senate Bill 6 calls for school-to-work programs.
All right. Would you explain to our listeners what school-to-work programs are? But what about the individual choice? This is almost like the corporations will determine the type of education, isn't it?
That's pretty much the way it will be. Yeah, schools now, for a second, if I can go back to Assembly Bill 1550, this data collection also calls for safe schools. And that's a word that you've got to be very careful of, because when we think of safe schools and the way we've been reading about it in the newspapers, safe would lead us to believe, okay, they're going to get rid of the rats in the schools, they're going to see that the fire alarm bells work, they're going to, you know, fix the broken windows and the broken door locks. But there's another understanding of safe, and that is that the home environment and the parents are considered deterrents to children making decisions in safe and stress-free environments. And so they need to get kids into school at a younger and younger age so that they can give them the program to make their decisions, and they will be made in safe situations.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that God gave the children to the parent. What do you mean the children making decisions? The parents are supposed to make the decisions for the children until they're on of age. Isn't that the way it is, or is all that going to change?
Oh, that's old hat now.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. This whole thing, of course, is carrying out a long-range program for the destruction of the family.
understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Inward to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Camille Giglio, and of course she has been working on the front lines of the pro-life movement for many years, but she's concerned about this educational program which is coming down, which is going to have a workforce base for it, where the government is going to determine what sort of life your child is going to have, and they're going to determine their profession, and you will not be trained in anything other than what they want you to be trained. And of course, you're going to see a total transformation of our educational system as this incredible new program gets through, if it gets through here in California. If it doesn't get through, they're going to keep trying and trying and trying, because they have an agenda. The rest of us just want to be left alone and live our lives and have our children grow up, but If you have your child in the government school, let me tell you, your child doesn't stand a chance there, because, of course, they're going to change their values, and they're going to change the way they look at God and at America. And, of course, they're going to change their attitude, their whole precept of what freedom is all about. So you pick up the story from there, Camille.
Well, you were asking me initially about the school to work that I had mentioned, which is in Senate Bill 6 here in California. And all of these bills that I've mentioned, the AB 1550 with the data collection and the safe schools, and the Senate Bill 550 and the Senate Bill 6, all of them kind of share things together. Like, you don't find something just in one bill. You find it mentioned someplace else in another bill. So Senate Bill 550 also makes space for what they call mastery certificates, which means that when you graduate from school, if you don't have a mastery certificate in what you've been taught, you may not get a job.
And, of course, they're going to pretty well determine what you're going to be taught, aren't they? In other words, aren't they going to try to direct you into specific professions that they want you in rather than what you want?
Well, they will definitely, and that reflects back to the sustainable development understanding of the environmentalists, in that all of our communities are supposed to be self-sustaining little communities, and you are supposed to be able to provide the work in your own community that sustains the community. So if my community of Walnut Creek here needs 500 policemen or something, they're going to be looking for the kids that they're going to put into the police academies. If we need 1,000 healthcare workers, they're going to start putting, looking for some kids that are interested in that field.
But what happens if they don't need any healthcare workers?
I don't know, but we're being programmed to understand that we are going to be encouraged to want to work in those areas, and that's already starting. You know, there are there's this thing called academies, and academies are now a part of a school, where some kids that I guess just don't make it or can't make it or won't make it in the general curriculum are determined that, well, you've got a special interest in you're working on school newspapers, or you've just got a special interest in computers, so we'll put you in this academy. And then they go out into the community and they do things in that academy, to work as a volunteer in those areas. There's been stuff in the newspapers lately about high school kids that go out to work in health clinics, you know, and they transfer serum or whatever from one vial to another, and they're learning how to be healthcare workers, and they're encouraged, and it's written up in the papers, and the pictures in the papers, and everything is lovely. And a part of that is also that the city gets involved in a lot of this education program. You know, education now is no longer just for school teachers. Educators and school teachers, as we know, school teachers now, I think, are really two different things. Educators are people who come from the general community to go into the schools and encourage kids to be interested in their area of work. And so the odd part about it is everybody gets all upset, particularly the legislators, that say, oh, isn't it a shame we have so many uncredentialed people working in the schools? Isn't that awful? Isn't that terrible? Yet an awful lot of the education, so-called, that goes on in the schools goes on by non-credentialed people anymore. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening, Doug. You go right ahead.
If they get you particularly as a 3, 4, or 5-year-old, and they determine at that age that you're interested in making widgets, by gosh, when you come out of high school, you're going to be a widget maker.
So basically, no longer will it be choice either for the child or for the parent. Why, the state will determine what sort of work you're going to do, just like they do in any authoritarian society. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a nightmare. It's coming down. It's going to be the law of the state before long, and the law of the nation. Are you concerned? We'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, why, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, we'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Camille Cilio, and she's talking about this new legislation here in California that is going to transform our educational program, centralize all power with the state, and of course bring in this idea of special workforce training, but even more than that, certificates of mastery, but even more than that, why begin bringing the children under the control of the all-powerful state, beginning as soon as they come home from the hospital, getting them into programs at age of three to get them away from that evil influence of the family and who might believe in God and family and country. So pick up the story, Camille. What can be done about this? First of all, do we even know what this legislation is going to say? Because I understand it's been written in such a way that nobody really even understands what they're talking about.
Well, that's true. Most legislation is written that way, I think. I haven't even gotten to the two worst bills yet, to be quite truthful.
Oh, you go ahead and tell us two worst ones.
But first of all, let me do tell you what the current situation is. As I had said, these bills are making their way through the legislature as individual bills, and they were all very controversial, and the Senate and the Assembly couldn't agree on what versions they wanted to approve. So the bills have gone to conference committee, and either tomorrow or Friday, it will be determined what's going to happen to these bills. In the meantime, people here in California may have read that there was a lawsuit brought against the state by the ACLU charging that there were far too many schools that were in very bad states of disrepair. There were no new textbooks, things of that nature. And the governor has the courts finally said they found in favor of the ACLU. The state has to go in and spend several million dollars to clean up a lot of these really bad schools. That's where my concern over what safe really means when he talks about what does safe mean. You know, what is a bad, what is a school in disrepair, and what is safe? But because of the Supreme Court or this court decision, it's possible that because they need to do this lawsuit by legislation, and they need to look for education bills that are already on their way through the system, they may gut these first four bills that I've talked about, or three or four bills, and use those to carry the legislation to put through the demands of the lawsuit to clean up the schools. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but they gut bills all the time up there in the state legislature. If something isn't going through fast enough, or it isn't really going through, and there's another bill that has gone through, a legislator can usurp that bill, gut it, put his own language in there, and continue its merry way on through the legislature.
Well, now, doesn't it have to be voted on in the final analysis by the rest of the legislature?
It would, yeah. But because this is a court-mandated decision, this ACLU or Williams versus the state of California, it would be almost be an automatic approval.
Now, of course, what you're basically saying is they're going to spend money fixing up the schools and buying new textbooks and things like that.
Yes, and they're going to perhaps use these bills as the vehicles to carry that through. That doesn't mean that the intent of these bills is going to end, because another thing that the legislators do when they can't get a bill through is, as they have been doing with Senate Bill 550, they quote these bills. They say, we want to do this in the area of legislation because Senate Bill 550 mandates these things. Senate Bill 550 has never been passed, but they quote it as though it has been passed. And so even though they might gut these bills, and these bills might not make it through as they now read, that doesn't mean the intent of these bills is going to stop. So we may have a temporary reprieve from the socialist education state, and maybe we won't. We'll know in the next couple of days.
All right, fine. So the bills are going to be out of committee, and then they will go to the House, and then they will to the Assembly.
They'll go
and then
back to the Houses of Origin. They'll be voted on, and the governor will sign them.
All right. What harm will they do other than centralizing more power in Sacramento? Will the workforce legislation be there? Will the legislation that allows them to control the children from the cradle all the way through graduation from high school be included in that legislation?
Well, see, there's where these last two bills come in. One other bill that has been included in this set of five bills is a bill called AB 56 by Daryl Steinberg, which sets up the 3 and 4 year old kindergarten for all. And included in that is mental health screenings. And included as a part of that is something called developmentally appropriate curriculum. So whether or not at this moment the grandiose schedule gets passed, if AB 56 gets passed as a freestanding bill, that's what they want anyway. They want to start out with the preschool kids and work their way on up.
Okay, so what do you got holds of their minds early so that they don't get any bad ideas?
Right. Now, along with AB 56 is another bill that hasn't been included in this set of five in the going through conference committee, and that's a bill, Senate Bill 1434 by Martha Escucha, which sets up the master plan for state-provided infant and toddler care. And both of these bills are a part of Rob Reiner's I Am Your Child bill, which links up with the federal legislation on mental health screening. So we have a huge master plan that's either going to get passed in pieces or it's going to get passed in toto. At this point, we don't know.
All right, fine. Now, is there any way to block it? And what about the governor? Would he block this? Because it can be a massive expenditure of money in a state that's already falling further and further behind and having to borrow from our great-grandchildren right now get to the legislation that they've already passed.
Well, we do know that the governor is in favor of a lot of after-school programs and is in favor of a lot of this stuff that's going on. And, of course, the mental health screening stuff is George Bush's program. It's called the New Freedom Initiative.
Right. I love the way that they use these words to hide a diabolical intent. The New Freedom, who could be against the New Freedom? But basically, the government's going to begin forcibly testing people in the name of freedom. It's sort of like the USA Patriot Act, which is to take away our freedom, but they call it USA Patriot. Why? Because words can be used to deceive people.
And part of that is the Administration for Children and Family, which is a part of the National Education Program, which is something, again, that the Republicans and our president is promoting. And a lot of this has already passed in other states. For instance, Illinois has now passed a mandatory mental health screening for pregnant women and babies. They have to be screened to make sure that the mothers aren't in a depressive state because of their pregnancy and that the babies are being properly treated. And this is a model for other states. It's going through in Kentucky and Pennsylvania, some other states, I can't remember. But it's also here in California, although I think in California they may be a little more adept at hiding what they're really talking about.
What are they really talking about? What's wrong with mental health screening?
Well, you're going to have the psychiatrists and the psychologists telling you how to live your life. Parents are not going to be able to just raise their children by their standard or by religious standards. They're going to be required to do this by state and federal standards. They have to form a partnership with the school system. Child care workers are going to become a part of the educational system. They're all going to be in the teachers' unions, and the unions, the unions pretty much run everything up in Sacramento. The teachers' union is one of the biggest unions up there. And Governor Schwarzenegger, he's a member of the Screen Actors Guild. He's a union member. He approves of unions. The only thing that we can do at this point is write to the governor, tell him this is an Orwellian program, particularly from the standpoint of economics. Our state is in terrible financial situation. Millions and millions and billions of dollars would be used for all kinds of things. The stem cell research, that's an initiative for $3 billion. That would be spent over 10 years.
Now, has this actually been passed, or is this legislation there?
No, this is an initiative on the state ballot for November.
An initiative to spend $3 billion on stem cell research?
On embryonic stem cell research, strictly for research, not for anything else. But by the time you've paid the interest on the bond issue, it's going to be $6 billion. So we've got this billions of dollars educational restructuring. We could have billions of dollars in stem cell research. And there's no money for roads, no money, in health care. They're trying to do things in health care.
Now, is this all going to be on the ballot in November?
A lot of it's going to be on the ballot.
Well, I would hope that people would be aware that all of this is going to have to be paid for, and they're going to either pay for it or their children are going to pay for it or lose their freedom. This is what it's all about. There is no free money.
I think our best hope, and I shouldn't say only hope because I don't want to deny hope to people, but I think the best hope is to get a hold of the governor, tell him that this is far too expensive for us at this time, that the governor has got to be realistic, just like the rest of us are realistic. You know, he passed the budget, and he passed the budget a budget that's got far more expenses in it than even Gray Davis would have had.
Well, Gray Davis's budget was $93 billion, as I remember, and we peached him, and Schwarzenegger, the conservative who was going to do the cutting, came in with a budget of $103 billion. I just don't understand.
You understand that if you understand that he's a union man.
Well, I don't think it's a union man. I think that he's far more diabolical than that. In fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger is being prepared to run for the presidency. Now, whether he ever will or not, I don't know, but they've already put in legislation to change the Constitution so that foreign-born people can run for office. And Arnold is qualified. He said, of course, you know, that's not specifically for me. Well, why not? I mean, who else do we know on the national scene right now who would be running for a major political office who is foreign-born? And I believe that there are powerful forces behind Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's why he got to be the governor of the state of California. When he was a lifelong Democrat, he may say he's a Republican, but he comes from a Democrat family. He's part of the Kennedy family, and he's a far bigger spender than Gray Davis ever was. So, and he has no political background, and the only reason he's there is because the establishment put him in. But I think that maybe simply because he wants to have higher political office, not simply be the governor of a state, I think he has far greater aspirations. Maybe it might be that he would veto this legislation, whether he wants to or not, simply because if he makes a mess out of his state here, he'll never get to be a higher office.
Well, there are going to have to be, I think it's hundreds of thousands of dollars spent to repair the schools. That's going to be a court mandate. So that's where a lot of the money is going to have to go, at least for the short term. So, and that, again, is kind of a clever little trick that a lot of these liberals use, is to get something in court, get the court to mandate it, and then the state or the individual or the organization is compelled to do this because they say the courts made me do it.
Well, of course, the courts have no right to mandate anything. The courts there are to interpret the law, not to become the new rulers. And the problem we have is we have allowed the courts to usurp the power of the legislation and the executive branch. And I think what we need to do is start impeaching some of these judges who are making decisions without any basis at all in law. It's their opinion. And I believe, of course, these are the most dangerous things, and so did Thomas Jefferson. You go back and read him, and he talked about how he saw with the judiciary the very seeds of the destruction of our society. But why doesn't anybody want to say that today?
I don't know. I might suggest to people that if they're listening to you on the Internet particularly, that if they want to know a little bit more about the mental health screening and the 0-3, schooling for all the infant and child care, that they might go and look at Rob Reiner's website, which is called IamYourChild.org.
That's Rob Reiner, R-O-B.
Uh-huh.
R-E-I-N-E-R.
That was the former Meathead in All in the Family.
All right, fine. And so Rob Reiner and robreiner.com or .org or what?
No, it's called I Am Your Child.
I Am Your Child.
.org.
All right.
And in that, on that website, he talks about the absolute necessity of getting proper education and training and activities to your child from the age of birth. And all of this is based on rather false understanding of the science of the brain. You know, there are so many organizations out there that glom onto something that might be halfway good and use it for their own special interest, their own advantage. And Rob Reiner is one of them, only one of them. But Rob Reiner is very, very well connected to lots of other organizations and the Carnegie Endowment and the California Endowment. And Rob Reiner gets money from one of the past initiatives that was the Prop 10, the anti-smoking initiative.
How does he get money from that? And that was
That's where Prop 10 money went to Rob Reiner mostly.
The anti-smoking money went to Rob Reiner?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it went to him.
I thought it was supposed to be used to stop smoking.
Well, that part of it is, yeah. But, you know, a large amount of that money went to him for his I Am Your Child program, which is the California organization also called First Five Families. And that's the group in California that is doing most of the promoting of this 0 to 3 and pre-kindergarten programming.
And this is really the continuation of the philosophy that was laid out by Plato and Rousseau and Robert Owen and Karl Marx and all of the other fascist people who want to control our children. Camille, do you have a parting thoughts for our people today? And do you have a website you'd like to give out?
I do have a website. It's kind of a long thing. It's one of these new blogs that they have. And you have to put the http://... on it. And it's californiaadvocates.sciblog.us/blog.
You've got to get a much simpler one because nobody's going to be able to get there. You're going to have to get something very simple. That's the only way people can remember it.
I if someone would come to me to show me how to develop a regular website, I'd love it. This is the best I've been able to find.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Camille. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and the number of books that you really need to understand what's happening in the educational system. One of them is Charlotte Isabey's very good book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And Charlotte Isabey was actually in the Department of Education during the Reagan years, and she found out that they were actually signing treaties with the Soviet Union to unite our educational system. Of course, the Soviets weren't going to dumb down their children. They were going to dumb down our children. Do you think that we could have such low SAT scores in America in comparison with the rest of the world accidentally with all the money we're spending? More money isn't going to solve the problem. This problem was designed to fail intentionally, and they're doing a great job. You need to get the book, Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Isabey. You need to get the book, The None Dare Call It Education by certainly our good friend John Stormer. And FedEd, which goes into the president's No Child Left Behind system, which is basically to change the attitudes and values and beliefs of our children. It's really Ted Kennedy's legislation put through by a Republican president. Ted Kennedy knows exactly what he's doing, and I don't believe that Republicans are foolish at all. I think most of them, just have their arms twisted. They go along with these programs, and they're aimed at the destruction of our children. You need to get the book, FedEd. You need to get the four-tape set on FedEd, and you need to understand that there is a program to take over the control of the hearts and the minds and the souls of our children, and, of course, to change their attitude towards God and towards country, and, of course, specifically, to build a barrier between the parent and the child that will be there as long as possible, and it's about time people understood that our children are not rebellious normally. They're rebellious because they're being trained to be rebellious. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners out there across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there and you listen to our programs and you believe that you're going to learn things here that you're not going to get elsewhere, why, we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And it's as simple as giving a call to 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a copy of our latest newsletter, it tells you what really happened on September 11th. It tells you about the smoking gun that was in the 9/11 Commission hearings. Now, it's, of course, not in what they published for the public, and how many of you are going to spend, 3 or 4 days to track down simply one paragraph in those hearings. But we did it. We have it. It's in our latest newsletter. We have the original source from it. It's accurate. Well, I won't tell you what it is, but there is a smoking gun. They knew exactly what was coming down the line. They just didn't want the American people to know what was coming down the line. So if you'd like a free copy of our July newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, our August newsletter, which is already written and will be out in a couple of weeks, it goes into the background of what's happening financially, what Warren Buffett, one of the most intelligent and most capable investors in the world, what he is doing, what he is planning, and how he is protecting the assets of the people in Berkshire Hathaway. I can remember when his stock was $10 a share, and now it's over $77,000 a share. Boy, I wish I'd bought some at that time, but I got 20/20 hindsight. Well, anyway, my August newsletter, I think, will give you tremendous insight. All of our newsletters eventually are posted on our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. We hope you'll go there. You'll tell other people about that website because they can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day on the Internet at one or another network, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and, of course, 4 hours a day on the Internet and somewhere across America on radio 5 hours every day. We're going to be picking up some new stations in the very near future and expanding our network, but quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. How can you really convince people of what's going on? Well, let me suggest several items we have. One is a video called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and you'll hear the rock stars talking about how they sold their souls to the devil. That's what it's really all about. There is a satanic movement out across America. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Killer, has talked about that as Susan Atkins, who was with Charles Manson. They were both part of a secret satanic cult called The Process. But you're not going to hear that from Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly, because you're not supposed to know. There is a satanic movement alive and well in our country today. The video, you can get the 4-hour video or the 10-hour video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We recommend the book, The Fallen Angel. It's the story of Led Zeppelin, the music group, and of course, Aleister Crowley, who energized this whole movement, and Timothy Leary and Alfred Kinsey. And we have a 4-tape set on Alfred Kinsey. You need to get it and listen to it. We have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley. You need to get it and listen to it. We have a 4-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. You need to get this and listen to it. We have a 4-tape set on the wisdom of Malachi Martin, who talks about the satanic influence within the Catholic Church. You need to get it and listen to it. We need to get our 4-tape set on the church growth movement, which gets into the dark forces which dominate the Protestant church today. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and look at the various items that we have, and then get them, copy them. We give you our permission to copy them as long as you're not making a profit, and get them to other people. Help us get the truth out across America, because the future, the life that you save could very well be your own. America's in terrible straits because America's turned her back on God. And do you think God will ever bless this country again if we continue our current course? Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember, we're having a meeting here in Santa Cruz on November 6th. We hope all of you will start making your plans to come, and call us at 1-800-544-8927 to make arrangements. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.